24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is Global Reality Radio Network.
To another live edition of the Global Reality right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Live show here for you tonight, Tuesday night. Second show of 2012. Tuesday, January the 3rd, 2012, into Wednesday, January the 4th, 2012. Glad you could join us here for another live edition of the broadcast. We will, we started again. We've been starting the show around about the midnight Central Standard Time hour. And that's going to continue that way. But, between the over the holidays and stuff, it's just, there hasn't been a lot of material for the shows. And, there was that way last night. I thought it would be better today, but then it slipped my mind and forgot that, even though I was talking about it yesterday, I forgot that the Iowa caucuses were tonight. So pretty much all the news is going to be, garnered towards that. And, you know, other than just the rudimentary Ron Paul got third, I really have no interest in covering that stuff or talking about that. So unfortunately, most of the news has been, surrounding that stuff. Sorry, I tell my cat to shut up real quick. Anyway, little bastard is good until right when I go on the show, he starts being a little asshole. But, I was just like, well, I'll play some tunes till I can see if I can come up with some stuff. So I got a few news stories here tonight and, maybe a few emails. If you want to send in emails during the live show tonight, questions, comments, anything like that, globalrealityshow@gmail.com is my email address. It's globalrealityshow@gmail.com. You can send in your comments here anytime. I'll do my best to read them on air and answer those questions for you here during the broadcast. My website where this broadcast originates from is theglobalreality.com. That's theglobalreality.com, and there you'll find the links to listen to the live stream, the archives, all my documentary films, including the Sea Riot Volume 2, which is on sale right now on Blu-ray and DVD. And we have lots of packages there where you can get the research pack that comes with that's like 4.2 gigs of data that's from the film, including uncut clips that I cut into the documentary. My picture archive that I collected over the course of making the film is in there, so you have all the pictures. You have time to examine those individually on your own, and they're all there. Some other different audio videos and PDFs and different stuff like that. So those for sale as well, and those are randomly autographed as well, so people are wanting that option, but we'll do those after it's been on sale for a while. But anyway, you can get those there, theglobalreality.com at my website. And we also have a chip and banner and the donate button for our to support our work and what we do, because we don't have commercials and we don't have Jew Gold or Dick Pill sponsors. And I don't have to basically censor my show to please the sponsors. And unfortunately, whether they tell you this or not, and most of them won't tell you this, the truth of the matter is, if you're on a network, and I don't care what network it is, you have to not talk about certain topics and certain things to appease and keep those sponsors for your network or your radio show. It's just a fact. So keep that in mind when you see the other networks out there that have commercials and look at the things that they sell and everything else. It's just an absolute fact, folks. I've been on the inside of that stuff, and I've seen it. You know, I was on what, fucking 4 or 5 networks before this. I was on fucking RBN and WTPRN and Oracle and TNR and what else? Who knows? But that's an absolute fact. So keep that in mind here. If you enjoy what I do here, if you enjoy my radio shows and my films and in the YouTube clips and just everything I'm trying to do here, bear that in mind, because, you know, that was when I started my own platform here in 2009, that was the greatest thing. That's been the most fantastic thing for me, is not having to, like, it was such a, I gotta tell you, it wears you out. It literally wears you out, because my brain works so fast when I'm talking about this stuff, that when you're having to sit there, and that's what I was having to do when I was on other networks, I was having to, on the fly, think about not going too far. And believe me, I got complaints. My show got complaints from sponsors on networks I was on. That's a fact. And so a lot of these shows out there, man, they, you know, it's like, I mean, there's even shows out there that may be claiming to, you know, be against some of the stuff we're against here and talking about some of the stuff we talk about here. But, you know, still, it unfortunately, a lot of those people are restricting themselves and the topics of their show, and they're restricting what the audience gains from that knowledge by, you know, cowering down and pandering to these sponsors. And I'm just not going to ever do that. And so that's what this network's about, and that's what we do here, and that's what my work is about. And so I think that with a majority of a lot of people that support my work and what I do here, they appreciate that. You know, because, I mean, God, is that really what we need? We're trying to change things, yet we're going to still, you know, stick to that old model of let's sell commercials and try to sell junk to people, and that'll be our whole model? Because that's really what this is to a lot of people. And as I talk about in The Secret Volume 2, what's interesting about that is that model, that whole model of that kind of thing was set up by Anand Kashyogi. He set up tons and tons of different operations like that. And GCN and Genesis and Alex Jones are the exact model of these, you know, magic cream, magic pill, gold dealing type of individuals that Adana Khashoggi really figureheaded and spearheaded. With all these different front companies that fund different black ops and CIA black ops. That's what the whole thing is. That's what I'm talking about in the film. But I just, you know, I think that I got to say this, and I mean this in all sincerity, but I also mean this in all seriousness. I think that the majority of radio shows out there in this type of genre, this type of work, are hurting the cause of enlightenment and of truth and of awakening than they are helping it. Because, you know, every time a host goes on air and doesn't say fuck when he wants to say fuck, if that's what his emotions are telling him to do, and has to, think about, well, you know, are we going to get my show out on a micro FM? Are we going to, I mean, who cares? It doesn't do any good anyway. You do just as good getting your message out in the way you want to get it out than you do not getting your message out the way you want to get it out and trying to get it on a micro FM. Those things don't do dick. You have just a small audience of people that listen to those as you do the people that listen to this. Because when people flip through the channels, man, they don't just stop on, you know, some clown talking about the New World Order. They're not going to stop on that. They're going to, you know, they're going to keep on going to where there's some tunes. And that's just how it is. But look, I mean, I really started looking at this, and I think there's a lot more people out there that are, you know, they're hurting the cause more than they're helping it, because they're saying to people that, you know, this capitalist commercialism is still okay as long as it's for the cause. Well, that's the same message that Ron Paul and Alex Jones sent. That's not revolutionary. That's putting a different kind of perfume on the same exact pig. You're just changing it out. Oh, well, you know, see, it's different now. No, it just smells different. It's the same goddamn stinky pig under there. You just changed out what it smells like. that's exactly what, I mean, that Ron Paul and Alex Jones do. Well, all these, you know, conspiracy radio networks and stuff out there and radio shows are doing the same thing. Yeah, we, you know, we have advertisers, and yeah, we'll just sell you worthless bullshit that, you know what I mean? But, you know, this is how we maintain ourselves. This is how we stay alive. You know, I think when you, the thing about it is, people speak with their, with their, you know, money changer Templar notes, you know? And in order for a sponsor to stay is a sponsor for your radio show or network or something, you have to, you know, obviously somebody has to buy these products, or, you know, you have to show the these sponsors that, you know, you're indeed upping their revenue. And I think that, you know, with something with like the way I do it here, you're evening the playing field a little bit. You know what I mean? Because if you've got a slick commercial and you've got a slick, you know, presentation and a slick sales pitch, and, you know, these advertising guys are out of control on all levels. These people go and get degrees to learn how to sell you shit you don't need. Understand? So just because it's packaged as, you know, conspiracy, or packaged as survival, or, you know, against the New World Order, don't be enamored by that salesmanship and that sales pitch and think that somehow this is, you know, different than the people that try to sell you shit during the Super Bowl or on TV or something. It's not any different. But see, I think that you would have an even playing field across the board if you know, okay, you know, well, we had some bands that did that a few years ago, like Radiohead, and other bands have done it, where they put their album up for sale, and it was like, okay, you know, how much do people want to pay for it? You can pay any amount in from like a dollar up to like, you know, $10 million. And I think there actually were a few people that, you know, did pay ridiculous amounts for it. But that, what that did was, is it put a value, it showed what the true value of something was from the people who were going to support that or spend money on it, you see? They gave them more of a true estimation of value. So I think that you would start to see a lot of radio shows and a lot of networks drop off the board really quickly if their survival was dependent upon their performance and what how their audience felt about what they were doing. Well, guess what, Bucko? That's what I've been doing here with my show and my network since 2009. And, you know, yes, we scrape by sometimes, but guess what? The people continue to speak. The people continue to, you know, keep me here. And what I'm saying is that even while that is tough for me, and while, you know, it would be easier for me if I was able to just sell products and, you know, try to get you to buy shit from people, you know, yeah, I would be doing probably better than I am. But the fact of the matter is, though, how does that change anything? You have to set an example of things outside of the box. If you ever, you know, the whole thing, you know, like Gandhi, you know, you got to be the change you want to see in the world. That's, you know, that's it. You have to be that thing. So that's why I've been reluctant to have sponsors, and I'm not, you know, I'm not above that. If somebody had a good product and something, I wouldn't mind putting a banner right up for them and plugging their thing a couple of times a show, whatever have you, you know. But I'm not going to play commercials, and I'm not going to do all that stuff. But I think if you, you know, if everybody was put on this, okay, well, let's see, you know, let's let the people speak with their dollars and let's see who they, you know, support the most and support the least. I think you'd start to see a lot of networks and radio hosts drop off really quickly. Because the fact of the matter is, a lot of people just, you know, they get up there and they, that's why I quit listening to this kind of stuff. I used to love this format, and I used to love this type of talk radio, but my God, there's just nothing to listen to anymore. I tune into some of this stuff sometimes. I just hear people talking about the same shit they were talking about 3, 4, 5 years ago. I mean, really, that's as far as you guys have gotten? And then those same people will consider it taboo or weird to get into deeper topics, or, oh, let's not talk about that. Well, you know, And I wonder why that was for the longest time. But now that I know the reason that is because, of course, you start getting to those deeper aspects of those types of information. You start getting into the deeper aspects of who really controls things. And as we know, this controlled so-called truth movement, half-truth movement, has been started and created from the very beginning to be a controlled gatekeeping entity to give people half-truths and to give people the impression that they're finding out really what's going on, but really what they're finding is just another roadblock. But, you know, that's my whole thing, man. That's what I think is, that I'm proud about what we do here, you know? That's why I couldn't go forward on doing this show a couple of years ago anymore without just doing it my way. You know, I started at the end of when I was on Oracle, I started doing that. And, some of those shows, I think they're out there still. I've got some of them somewhere, but some of those last shows I did when I was on Oracle were some of the best shows I've ever done. And the reason that they were was because I just took the gloves off, you know? I didn't hold anything back. I didn't pull any punches. I just let it rip. And it was considered way too hardcore for a lot of my fellow hosts and people that I was on the radio network with at that time. And that was a big wake-up call for me, you know? When I realized that, wow, it just seems that, you know, we hear all these people talking about, you know, waking up and having an awakening and enlightenment and all this stuff and finding out your true self and living in that and all this stuff. And then, you know, if you finally do achieve that, you know, you got people who that's too intense for them. You can't handle that. That's what happened to me. Once I started, you know, saying, you know what, this is not even worth it. I'm going to be who I am and I'm just going to express that. That was too intense for some people to handle. And so be it, man. And if that's my lot in life, that's my lot in life. I'm willing to accept that. You know, if me being myself or trying to get to the bottom of the real truth is too intense for you, number one, what does that say about you? But number two, maybe you need to rethink your reasoning behind wanting to do this. I can't imagine being somebody saying, you know, running a network or a radio show or something and saying it's about truth and then saying, well, a truth up to a point, you know, we don't want to go to certain areas because that's, you know, that's wackier, that's kooky. Well, that's where they've got you exactly where they want you at. So I say networks and shows that do that and engage in that are suspect as well. So, I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, I'm like an oasis out here in the desert, man. I'm like, my show and you guys, the listeners and supporters out there, you guys are like, you know, you're part of this little island. I mean, we're just like out here in the kind of by ourselves in the backwater. But the cool thing is that people are becoming more and more interested in the topics that I've been talking about on the show and in the films. And we get more and more emails and more views on our videos all the time. So, you know, definitely people's ears are attention. We just need to keep pushing forward and trying to get as much of a war chest going here. I mean, we're starting out 2012 with like $17 in the bank account because we didn't meet our fundraising goal last month. We didn't get any donations in the last 24 hours at all since our last show last night. That's okay, I guess. Not really, but we haven't sold any DVDs. We haven't sold any DVDs in weeks. So, you know, that's the whole thing here, folks. What I do is very rare in the grand scope of radio shows and networks and the rest of this. Very few people are willing to do it the way I do it. And and that should tell you everything you need to know about those people. And so, you know, again, if we're not going to step up and become examples of changing things and trying to do things that are, you know, different than how the establishment tries to tell us we're supposed to do everything, then we're never going to get anywhere. So that's why I cuss, and that's why you may call it crude. And I've had people send me emails saying, can you not cuss so I can let my 8-year-old hear the show? You know what, man? You're his dad. You teach him this shit. Take the information, take the cliff notes that I give you, and you teach it to him. I mean, if you're asking me to not be who I am so your kid can learn something from my show, you know, I mean, sorry, call me an asshole. I'm just not going to do it. It's not my responsibility to teach your kid, man. It's your responsibility to teach this shit to your kid. Maybe that's the problem with this country and this world. We want everybody to teach our kids for us. Can't you see you're running back into that same old trap again? Putting you and yours and their knowledge and their minds in the hands of somebody else? That's what got us in this mess in the first place, Bubba. So no, I won't censor myself and not cuss so your goddamn kids can listen to the show. You teach your kids about this stuff. It's your job, not mine. Ah, damn. But that's a problem, isn't it? That's, you know, again, that's why we're here having to talk about this stuff day in and day out. You want me to teach your kid something? I'll teach him something right now. The first rule, okay, sit your kid here. I promise for the next, till I say I'm going to cuss more, I'm not going to cuss. So whoever that person was that sent me that email, here you go. You can start right now. Your kid, listen to this. Play now. Here we go. All right, kid, this is for you. Your dad thinks you need to learn some stuff. I'm going to tell you one thing that you need to know first and foremost, and if I can teach you one thing, anything else, everything else will fall in line if you just remember this one thing. You ready? Maybe you get a crayon or something. Write this down. Always be yourself. Doesn't matter. Everything else doesn't matter. Don't worry about everything else. But that's the whole thing is, you know, this whole thing of, you know, you don't be yourself. They always have a good, slick, packaged excuse or reason why you need to censor yourself, too, you know? Oh, don't talk like that. That's not nice. Okay, it's not nice. Well, not everything's not everything is nice. But, you know, it's just like, oh, can you not cuss so I can let my kids listen to your show? I'm not here to teach your kids. I'm here to be me and be who I am and express that on my radio show and do my best to bring information that I'm finding in my quest of digging and that goes on all the time every day and try to bring out some of the things that, everybody has tried to suppress it to this point. And I find more and more things all the time, folks. So many things that don't ever get talked about in the nomenclature of the conspiracy research genre. And, you know, you got people that just because they know everything there is to know about the Trilateral Commission, the CFR, and geopolitics, that automatically means that, you know, if they find something they haven't, that they don't know about, hadn't heard about, that must mean it's not true. That's how thick the brainwashing and the propaganda is of the truth movement, Alex Jones and others. Is when people learn, because that kind of happened to me when the second or third show I ever did when I had Peter Delscon on, he started talking about the Council for National Policy. And I was thinking to myself when he was talking about it, and I was like, well, you know, surely there can't be anything to this. You know, because if there was something to this, I would have heard about this, you know. I know everything there is to know about the CFR and the Trilateral Commission and all these other right in Bohemian Grove and all these groups. You know, if this group had any power, I would know about it. Wrong. I was wrong. And of course, first thing I start finding, here's fucking 10 members of this group that all have been guests on the Alex Jones show. And here's people that are connected to Ron Paul and the heart of this whole thing. Oh, my God. And so we, you know, that's the whole thing is people think just because it's something they haven't heard about, that automatically means it's not true. And people who don't know anything about conspiracies or research, that's their attitude as well. So that's another one of those things when you see that executed on multiple levels, when you see that happen in both mainstream culture and underground culture, that's when you know that is an ideology and a mindset and a way of thinking that has been perpetrated upon us. They want us to think like that. They want us to think that anything that we haven't heard of must be a hoax or must not be true. And that's one of the ways that they're able to keep this stuff perpetuating, keep this going, is by exactly that right there. I just, you know, that's, I got into this stuff and I thought that these were people who wanted to be individuals. And from the moment I started doing radio shows and all this stuff, I immediately noticed that it was like, this wasn't about being individuals. This is about doing everything you can to toe the line and fit in with the club and fit in with the group and fit in with the way of thinking. I was like, what? It really bothered me for the longest time because I felt like this is supposed to be about not conforming and not falling into another mindset and falling into another, you know, tunnel vision way of thinking that you can't see out of. But that's what it seemed like, that every time when I was involved in the 9/11 group locally here in Dallas, that's the way it was. When I first started on radio networks and other hosts and shows and stuff, that's the way it was. You know, other hosts would snicker and make fun of you and, you know, call you names and stuff if you happen to get on a topic that was, you know, not about paleo conservatism or right wing politics, you know, and Ron Paul or something. And that's when I started noticing, right around the time when I was first finding out about the Council for National Policy, that, oh, I see what this is. You know, like every time you know, I would see people, somebody would call into a radio show like Alex Jones or anybody else and just bring up the topic, not even say they believed in it, just say, hey, what do you think about the no plane theory on 9/11? And see hosts just go into a rage and freak out just on the mere utterance of the term, just to even bring it up. Now, I'm not one of those no plane people. I don't necessarily believe that. I necessarily don't believe it either. But I have seen a lot of the evidence that's been faked and dropped frames and people cut it and edited 9/11 footage to make it look like there wasn't. I'm not saying it's not a possibility. But the point of the matter is we should consider everything to be a possibility and then negate what is the truth and what isn't based on the evidence. But my point is, when I would see people that would immediately would just be you not even up for conversation, not even up for discussion, not even let's look at what's true and what's not true and have a discussion about it, just zero to flip the fuck out when anybody brings it up. And there's still a lot of hosts out there like that today. And I just, to me, that always bothered me. And then I got that same reaction from people whenever I would bring up the Council for National Policy. I bring up the Council for National Policy. Oh, that's just a right-wing CFR. They don't matter, blah, blah, blah. Or you start talking about, okay, well, you know, let's look at these bloodlines. Let's look at these antiquities. Let's look at these. Why are they going and stealing, you know, declaring wars and having things like 9/11 just to go in and steal antiquities and artifacts that go back to these ancient civilizations where they claim to be in communication with gods and extraterrestrials? Oh, don't ask that. That's a distraction. Focus on the Federal Reserve and focus on freedom and liberty and the Constitution. Oh, blah, blah, blah. So I started to, you know, on the variety of these topics, started to see knee-jerk reactions every time they would be brought up. And that instantly made me suspicious. Because it was just as, you know, as the same thing as I used to always get whenever I would bring up real milquetoast things back in the day, like, you know, the CFR or the Bilderberg Group. I remember in the late 90s, the Bilderberg Group was considered like the no plane theory or considered like, you know, chupacabras. The Bilderberg Group, goddamn, they've been admitting that they've been doing that and having those meetings and who's been there for decades. But I can remember in the days before, you know, the internet was really widespread and it was as big as it is now, that you would bring up the Bilderberg Group and talk about it and people would just act like you were out of your goddamn mind. Not just a conspiracy theorist, but really, literally, mentally disturbed. And the stuff that we know now is makes Bilderberg Group look like a fucking picnic. So you see, somebody is creating these mindsets. And it's to keep you limited and keep your knowledge base limited so they can keep you from ever finding out what's really going on while all the same time making you believe you actually know the truth. Well, that's not what I'm ever going to do here. You know, there is no absolute truth we're ever going to find. We're just going to have to keep going and try to find out and learn as much as we possibly can. But, you know, people, I see people, I can't believe that people think that they get to a point where there's not any more to learn. I mean, go ahead and pull the trigger yourself. some of these radio hosts I fucking used to do shows with, I hear them, they're still doing fucking shows, and I'm just wondering why. You shouldn't have been on air 3 months, much less 3 or 4 years, talking about the same boring shit and can't hit a commercial break to save your life after 3 or 4 or 5 years. God damn. But, you know, that's, I think those people serve a purpose, and whether they're paid or whether they're not, I don't know. But I think there are a great many radio shows stuff out there that are is similar in, well, not as deeply connected, but similar in the vein of what Alex Jones's operation is, which is to, you know, some of these guys are put in there just so that they talk about constant topics that are so goddamn ridiculous. That they poison the well, but they also, what they do is they take topics that seem ridiculous and then flaunt them and put them out there ridiculously. So then people associate that information with the person that's putting that out there, and they think that that means the information is bunk just because the individual who's bringing that information out is bunk. You see, like, I mean, there's a handful of those. From David Icke to Zachariah Sitchin to Eric John Phelps. I mean, there's just a whole bunch of those people. You know, people discredit their information, and the information itself becomes discredited because the individual who's presenting the information is a total fucking, you know, obviously a plant or a clown or whatever have you. Like Eric John Phelps, people think that a lot of the Vatican stuff and Jesuit stuff and that he talks about is bullshit. When, I mean, the guy actually puts out legit info, but. I mean, he's a fucking Israeli diamond salesman. He's an admitted Zionist. He's an admitted. I mean, the guy literally talks about wanting to set up segregated states in the United States. He's a fucking full blown Nazi. So ultimately, what happens is no matter how factual his information may be, because he's easily discredited by his associations and his beliefs and all this other stuff, then in the minds of most people, that negates the information itself. That's one of their favorite things to do. And there are quite a few of those out there. I mean, you're smart. You can figure these guys out. You don't need me to tell you their names and who they are. I'm just talking about this so you can be aware, if you're not already, and most of you probably already are, that these types are out there. But do that sometime. You know, next time you're flipping through the channel or something, you're listening to some you know, conspiracy or truth related talk radio, listen to these guys, listen to the way they talk, listen to the way the things that they say, and you'll be able to tell real quick if these guys are just put there to make everybody else look ridiculous. And there's a lot of those going around, man. There certainly is. Well, we got a few news stories here tonight we're going to get into. TheGlobalReality.com is our website. Again, we need some support right now. We've got our fundraiser for this month going on. We're having a kickoff 2012 fundraiser this month. And that chip and banner there is to pay the bills and to also kickstart us into 2012. We're starting out on kind of a low bank. And this is not a year that we want to start out, you know, low in the bank here in our war chest with what we can do. And now that I'm going to be starting working on the next film, I figured this would be a good month to have a fundraiser to kick us off. And not only that, we're going to, part of the fundraiser is going to go to expenses to pay for travel costs and stuff like that for me to travel around. I'm trying to do that, towards the end of this month or sometime in this month, and do some traveling to some of these archaeological sites that I want to get video footage and stuff. And that's all going to require money, and all this stuff requires money, streams and websites and making films and all this stuff. So TheGlobalReality.com, please help us out this month at our fundraiser and our tipping banner there so we can kick 2012 off into full swing with a new film out and jump into working on this next film. And like I said, you know, the people speak, man. I'm not going to, you know, my work is not dependent. That's one thing you got to know about me. If I'm here and I'm doing stuff, it's because the people want me here and want to see me continue, want to see what I'm going to do next. And that's why I'm thankful for all the people out there that do that. And to me, that says a lot more. You know, any asshole can sell a fucking product, you know. But can you step up to the plate and do something that people actually want to contribute to and see grow and turn into something big? You know, you all have a stake in this. You know, this is all of our thing here. And I just don't see too many other shows that are offering, you know, the kind of participation. I mean, I give, make sure I give people credit and get people, you know, people make big donations. They get executive producer credits and they're associated with the films and get their names in it because people deserve that, you know, and that's, well, that, it's no different than what they do in a quote unquote professional environment. You know, a producer, somebody puts up money for a film to be made and then they get their name in the credits and, you know, that can go on their resume and then call themselves a film producer, you know? So, again, please support what we can do so we can continue, folks. TheGlobalReality.com. Let's see what we have here in the news tonight. Not a lot of news, but this one is just unbelievable. Now, we've seen and talked about here, and everybody's aware of all of the obvious Illuminati connections to Lady Gaga, and you know her whole story. We've talked about that, and I mean, she got symbology of, you know, Eye of Horus and Egyptian and Sirius symbology, all the Illuminati stuff in her videos. But this is pretty in your face right here. Lady Gaga left blood in hotel bath. One housekeeper claimed the pop superstar was bathing in blood as part of a satanic ritual. So they found real blood, a pool of blood in there, and her housekeeper says she was bathing in it as part of a satanic ritual. That doesn't surprise me the least bit. You know, that's it's just a confirmation of, I guess, what we already know. Unbelievable stuff there. Mexican Grand Warlock predicts Obama loss in 2012. Oh, this is rich. This guy's holding his old codger with gray hair and a beard's holding a big stack of tarot cards. Mexico's Grand Warlock predicted U.S. President Barack Obama would fail to win re-election and two more Latin American leaders would be diagnosed with cancer in a traditional New Year's forecast on Tuesday. Well, he may not be off the mark on those two things. The old cancer dart going around the Latin America. Yeah, we talked about that here. But I don't need to consult the tarot to tell you that. I mean, I just, you know, tell you what I tell you from following the news. And, you know, I've seen both of those things be a possibility. Absolutely. But the Grand Warlock or Brujo Mayor in Spanish leads a Mexican tradition of brujeria or sorcery centered in the southeastern city of Catemaco. The Grand Warlock, also known as Antonio Vasquez, says that Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez, who claims to have beaten an unspecified cancer, would have a terrible relapse. Well, I mean, that's not hard to predict. Most people that have any kind of a cancer are okay for a while, and then they do have a terrible relapse. That doesn't make you a fucking, you know, that's not even making anything special to be able to tell that, Bubba. That's just a fact. Argentina's President Cristina Kirchner, Brazilian President Dilma Rousseff, former Brazilian leader Luiz Inácio and Lula da Silva, and Paraguay's Fernando Lugo have been diagnosed with cancer in recent years. Chavez suggested last month that the spate of cancer among leftist leaders could be a U.S. plot. Vasquez, who sports a long gray beard, put the cancer cases down to witchcraft against Latin American leaders during a Mexico City news conference giving his 25th annual predictions. Mexico's Institutional Revolutionary Party, which ruled for more than 70 years in 2000, returned to power with its candidate Enrique Peña Nieto winning the presidency in July, according to Vasquez, who bases his predictions on tarot card readings and observations of the stars. Vasquez, who claims to have a 75 to 80% accuracy rate, last year said the euro would weaken and recession would return to developed economies, but he also predicted incorrectly that a Latin American leader would be assassinated. Well, maybe he didn't. We think of assassination as, you know, blowing somebody's head off from with a long gun from a office building or something, but assassinations, they got assassinations that don't happen quick. They have assassinations that, you know, yeah, you can give them the cancer dart. So maybe he was right about that. Maybe that was aimed at Hugo Chavez. Interesting stuff. 24. Wow, this is unbelievable. So Rick Santorum now appears to be in first place after the voters come in Iowa. Well, it's unbelievable. Before the show, they were saying that they were tied. And now, I mean, where did Rick Santorum go? I thought Rick, didn't we read a story like 2 days ago? Rick Santorum was crying. I don't know if I read that on the show, but he was crying saying it was over and all this shit. That's pretty weird. So 24.5% of the vote for Santorum and Romney, with Santorum with 29,968 votes and Romney with 29,964. That's a little strange. What are the odds? I mean, aren't the odds pretty astronomical of that happening? Of them coming within literally 4 votes of each other? I mean, that just sounds suspicious to me. But now I guess he's coming first. Ron Paul in at third with 26,186 votes. Gingrich in third, Rick Perry Gingrich in fourth, Rick Perry in fifth, Bachman in sixth, Huntsman seventh. No preference in other, both beat out Herman Cain with 0% of the vote. He got 58 votes. That's unbelievable. Yeah, because they were hyping him up, you know, months ago, like he was the new savior. That's just too funny. No preference or other beat out Herman Cain. Wow. My cock got more votes than Herman Cain did in this election. Oh, man. Speaking of my cock, a macho voice doesn't mean macho sperm, say researchers. A deep voice is typically seen as a sign of supreme manliness, but researchers have pitched in with a study claiming that while it's a quality women find attractive, it can also be a sign of lower sperm count. See, I've been telling you ladies this for years. I may have a high voice. I may not have that low, sexy man voice. But I got lots of swimmers. Oh, yeah. Plenty to go around, ladies. See, you've been going about this all wrong for centuries. You've been going for the man with a deep voice. Well, he's shooting blanks. You got to come get a man like me, a real man with a high voice, if you want, you know, thick load viscosity. Lee Simmons, Marianne Peters, and Gillian Rhodes from the University of Western Australia say that while men with deep voices may have more testosterone, too much of it can reduce the amount of sperm in ejaculate. See, they're shooting blanks. Yeah, that testosterone's got to go to that deep voice.
What about me? I got a deep voice. I'll shoot a fucking load through your back like a shotgun, motherfucker.
Well, that's a different story. The result came as a surprise because it's widely accepted that females use traits such as a deep voice, hairiness, and muscle size as a way of sensing a man's virility, and the same in the animal kingdom. The investigation began by establishing that a woman did indeed find a deep voice attractive quality in man after listening to a voice recording of 54 men aged between 18 and 32. Those men were also asked to provide a sperm sample. After noting that lower sperm counts were associated with the men with deeper voices, the researchers concluded that perhaps some sort of trade-off was taking place. They believe it could be a nature's way of balancing things out so that if you have voice and muscles women love so much, you lose out on the virility front. Oh, yeah, see? That's what I've been telling you, ladies. You didn't know. See? That's why you want a fool like me with a high voice. Oh, yeah. Now, if you really want the white rain of 1,000 loads, you got to come with, yeah, you gotta have to get with me, girls. That's just the way it is. So. If you want the man gravy shower, you know where it's at. Oh, that's just too funny. Oh, yet another. I just keep running these. We start to see more and more articles. Oh, yeah, 2012, it's all just bullshit. Nothing's going to happen. Blah, blah, blah. Every year, all the years up until this year, 2012, what have we seen from the media and in the stories? Oh, 2012, Mayan Doomsday, blah, blah. TV shows, National Geographic, videos, DVDs, magazines. Then 2012 gets here, and what do we see now? Oh, an incessant bombardment of stories saying that, oh, yeah, well, that's all bullshit. And I've been one of those, like I talked about last night, I've been one of those people skeptical about this for the longest time, but when I start seeing NASA and them come out saying, oh, no, it's all bullshit, that starts to make me think maybe it's not. Because you can't trust those fuckers for anything. Here's an article from Life Science. Fly parasite turns honeybees into zombies. If deadly viruses and fungi weren't enough, honeybees in North America must also now deal with a fly parasite that causes them to leave their hive and die after wandering about in a zombie-like stupor. Now, my question is this the source of why we've had a lack of honeybees, and something that's killing with this precision to me would seem to be, man-made or created in a lab. Scientists previously found that the parasitic fly infects and ultimately kills bumblebees and paper wasps, while the decapitating fly, an insect in the same genus, implants the egg in ants whose heads then pop off. That's a wonderful way to go. After the fly larvae devour the ants' brains and dissolve their connective tissues. Jesus, sounds like the fucking aliens in the X-Files or something. Now, researchers have discovered honeybees parasitized by A. borealis in 24 of 31 states across the San Francisco Bay Area, as well as other commercial hives in California and South Dakota. Genetic tests revealed that some of the bees and flies were infected with deformed wing virus and the fungus Nosema carina, both of which have been implicated in colony collapse disorder. The scientists believe that more research into the parasitized bees and their behavior could yield new thoughts into the devastating disorder. Well, I have my own thoughts on the devastating disorder, and to me, that sounds like it just fits the mold for 100% man-made to a T. You know, when the honeybees all die and man will soon follow. Was it Einstein that said that? Yeah. So, you know, when we look at all the evidence that we already have that they want to kill us and keep the population low on all fronts, well, you know, that certainly doesn't help the case when you think about the idea of this being engineered to wipe out the bees, thus in turn try and wipe us out. I wouldn't put it past these fuckers for a second. Man, I guess that's already all the news we have tonight. Let's see if we have any emails here. I think I have a couple. This is from Arlen's. And he says, you mentioned a disorder which you couldn't remember the name of. It's called the Stockholm Syndrome. Yeah, I remembered it later on because there's a Muse song called that. Which is funny, as I came up with the same conclusion not long ago. This is why it is hard for most people, and they won't wake up, unfortunately. I have been listening to your show since I came across your reading of William Bramley's The Gods of Eden, which was hilarious, to say the least. Your commentary made it all the more special than your reading of The Lost Book of Enki. After listening to those two books, it really put things in perspective, so I wanted to thank you for the eye-opener. Well, you're certainly welcome. So much of what you say I can relate to, and I hope that you can continue to do your show. I wish I was in a position to donate, but I'm struggling myself, to be honest. I hope 2012 holds better outcomes for us all and an end to this spectacle once and for all. Peace and love, Brother Arlens. Thank you so much, Arlens. I appreciate the kind email there. This one is from Dominic, and even though I had sent him a response email to this, I'm going to read the email anyway. He says, Mr. Reeves, thank you for opening my eyes. I have a question with regards to your reading of the Sitchin's The Lost Book of Enki. Via the YouTube series recording, Zachariah Sitchin's The Lost Book of Enki, Part 5, at roughly 50 minutes into the program, you played a rap song speaking of Egypt. Can you please provide me with the name and the rapper of that song? Thanks for your time. More importantly, thank you for getting this information out. People need to know the truth. I believe the song is called Egyptian Intuition, but the group is Apps. I don't know if that's the name of the song I played there in that case or not, but I knew I've played a song that they have called that, but it's The Lost Children of Babylon. That's who that is. Lost Children of Babylon. Yeah, they're fucking fantastic. Definitely check them out. So thank you, Dominic. I appreciate that email. And, here's one last email from John. John Ems. He says, hi, Josh, big fan of the show. Try to listen to any chance that I get. I'm amazed at how accurate you are with some of your predictions. I know you exposed Ron Paul and guys like that in the past, but it's amazing that the elites are into so much into anal sex. Kent Santorum. I wonder if people who voted for Santorum actually used Google for the research. And he has a link here, www.spreadingsantorum.com. What is he? What I don't know. I don't know about that. I know Santorum's a CMP member. I know he's is he a fecal fan? Is he a brown boy? They all are, aren't they? It really is part of the. It's a prerequisite. You have to get fucked in the ass to be a part of the old boys club, which is the way it is. Now for the serious part. I know you have been complimentary towards Bill Cooper. Oh man. People always do this to me on this, and I've explained this. I'm so tired of explaining this. I've explained this 5 million times over, but I'll explain it again for the 18,000th time. I guess it's a new year, so I had to get that email, get this question again. Didn't I just address this like a month or two ago? What wasn't he a Christian nut? Yes, he said great things and exposed Alex Jones and other guys. I'm just curious, what areas did you disagree with him? Thanks for the great shows. The world will end in 2013. If Santorum is president, I'll be listening to your show till then. John. Thank you, John. I've explained this 5,000 times, and it really fucking pains me to have to go into it again, but I will because you asked. I don't put Cooper or anybody else up on a pedestal. Yes, he has tons of things I disagree with. And yes, I disagree with a lot of the things that he talked about. And I think that the fact that he was involved in naval operations like that, yeah, he should be as suspect as questioning everybody else. But the fact of the matter is, he's dead and he's not putting out any information anymore. So his relevancy towards what we're doing right now here in the present day is little to none other than the stuff that he exposed and talked about. But you have to understand things were totally different at that time. And he did, while being, I think, actively participating in something he thought was really for the greater good, also started stumbling upon, some of the inner workings of it. And from some of the radio shows and stuff I've listened to of the guy, he seems to have been hot on the trail of finding out a lot of the stuff I've now talked about and exposed with the CMP. The thing about it is that the reason it's a dead issue to me is because because the guy died 10 years ago, and with the way that information has changed and the way that mindsets about this stuff have changed, most of the people that were involved in this stuff, anybody who was thinking about this stuff, my thinking on this stuff is not the same as it was 10 years ago by any stretch of the imagination. So why do you assume Bill Cooper's would be the same today as it was then? You see, he may, for all we know, if he was still alive, he may have renounced those associations with Christian groups or whatever have you, or other different ideologies. We just don't know. So, I'm not one of the, I'm not somebody that worships, but I think that is that he said some things and definitely was really going to be a figurehead for a lot of this stuff. And I think they undoubtedly killed him and then propped up Alex Jones. If you haven't seen Secret Right Volume 2 yet, get yourself a Blu-ray or a DVD and you'll get more of an idea in that film from the stuff I put in there a little bit with Cooper. Why I think he's at least worth mentioning. I don't worship or see anybody. And yes, he had problems with a lot of his mindset, but we don't know that he would still be thinking. We can only judge his thinking on things on how they were all his whole life, all the way up until the time he was killed in 2001. But it's unfair to say that, he's not worth mentioning it's unfair to him because you don't know. People change. People's mindsets, when you're a researcher, and I believe he was a true researcher, the things he believed and he talked about on his shows 10, 15, 20 years ago, and you see the way that he progressed with the way that he thought about things, they probably wouldn't even be near the same way now, especially with the things that the stuff that we've seen from Alex Jones and Charlie Sheen and the rest of these clowns now, and the more that information is spread, and the more research that has been done since he's died. See, he was around in the days when it was not nearly as big as it is now. So he doesn't have the benefit of a lot of the information that we now currently have in 2012. So I think that, you know, whether or not Bill, you know, think Bill Cooper is legit or whether he wasn't, is kind of an argument that nobody can really win, because you just don't know if he was going to still be thinking the same way he was today about things then. But none of this would even be an issue or a question if people would do like I always tell them to do, and that is to do your own fucking research. I'm sorry, I've just answered that goddamn question so many fucking times. I'm sick and goddamn tired of answering it. Nothing against you, John. It's just, dude, I've probably answered that 100 fucking times since I've been on air, and it's like I can't even like put a clip of goddamn Bill Cooper on my show or in my film or something without, you know, having to explain that I'm not a worshiper of him or his information or think that he's 100% right about everything. I don't think that way about anybody. Christ. Drives me batshit. Now I'm fucking pissed off and in a bad mood. Thank you. I'm sorry, man. It's not your fault. It's just, goddamn, how many times do you have to answer the same fucking thing? There must be 50 radio shows out there, 100 on there online you can find of me talking about that. All right, let's take a break, come back, and get into the Kabbalion tonight. This is The Global Reality. Stay with us.
Thank you.
episode of No Holds Barred Talk. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is the Global Reality Radio Network.
All right, back here with you on the Global Reality, right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Thanks for being with us here tonight for another late night Moonbat edition of the broadcast. This segment of the broadcast, we're going to be reading on our continuing series of reading from the Kabbalion. And tonight we're going to be getting into chapter number 11, which is Rhythm. And this is going to be a good one here tonight to get into. So hope you'll stick around with us tonight. And also, every day you can check, it's TGRFP. Is the name of the YouTube channel, TGRFP, Global Reality Followers, TGRF, I think it's what it is. But anyway, you can find that on YouTube, and that's done by our buddy Illuminated Scam in the UK. He puts up all the great clips and daily shows up there live on YouTube for us, so definitely go check that out. My website, theglobalreality.com, so you can write my newest documentary film pertaining with for the CMP. We get into we do get into Alex Jones and we get into a little bit of Ron Paul at the very end, just a small amount. We do get into there's almost a fucking hour on Jonesy alone. Movie is almost 3 hours, 2 hours 48 minutes. It's on Blu-ray and DVD. Blu-ray looks fantastic, and we are shipping out orders this week, and hopefully I'll be able to get. Hopefully I'll have all my orders caught up by the end of the week. I mean, that's what I'm hoping to do. So we'll just have to see. But again, we do need your support right now, theglobalreality.com, and use the chip and banner, the donate button there, and please support our work. Chapter 11 of the Kabbalion, Rhythm. The great fifth hermetic principle, the principle of rhythm, embodies the truth that in everything there is a manifested, a measured motion. A to and from movement, a flow and inflow, a swing forward and backward, a pendulum-like movement, a tide-like ebb and flow, a high tide and a low tide between the two poles manifest on the physical, mental, or spiritual planes. The principle of rhythm is closely connected with the principle of polarity described in the preceding chapter. Rhythm manifests between the two poles established by the principle of polarity. This does not mean, however, that the pendulum of rhythm swings to the extreme poles, for this rarely happens. In fact, it is difficult to establish the extreme polar opposites in the majority of cases. But the swing is ever toward first one pole and then the other. There's always an action and reaction, an advance and a retreat, a rising and sinking, manifested in all of the airs and phenomena of the universe. Suns, worlds, men, animals, plants, minerals, forces, energy, mind, and matter, yes, even spirit, manifests this principle. The principle manifests in the creation and destruction of worlds, in the rise and fall of nations, in the life history of all things, and finally into the mental states of man. Beginning with the manifestations of the spirit of the all, it will be noticed that there is ever the outpouring and the indrawing, the outbreathing and inbreathing of Brahm, as the Brahmins word it. Universes are created, reach their extreme low point of materiality, and then begin in their upward swing. Suns spring into being, and then their height of power being reached, the process of retrogression begins. After aeons, they become dead masses of matter, awaiting another impulse which starts again their inner energies into activity, and a new solar life cycle is begun. And thus it is with all the worlds. They are born, grow, and die, only to be reborn. And thus it is with all the things of shape and form. They swing from action to reaction, from birth to death, from activity to inactivity, and then back again. Thus it is with all living things. They are born, grow, and die, and then are reborn. So it is with all great movements, philosophies, creeds, fashions, governments, nations, and all else, birth, growth, maturity, decadence, death, and then new birth. The swing of the pendulum is ever in evidence. Night follows day, and day night. pendulum swings from summer to winter and then back again. The corpuscles, atoms, molecules, and all masses of matter swing around the circle of their nature. There is no such thing as absolute rest or cessation from movement. All movement partakes of rhythm. The principle is of universal application. It may be applied to any question or phenomenon of any of the many planes of life. It may be applied to all phases of human activity. There is always the romantic swing from one pole to the other. The universal pendulum is ever in motion. The tides of life flow in and out according to law. The principle of rhythm is well understood by modern science, and it is considered a universal law as applied to material things. But the Hermeticists carry the principle much further and know that its manifestations and influence extend to the mental activities of man, and that it accounts for the bewildering succession of moods, feelings, and other annoying and perplexing changes that we notice in ourselves. But the Hermeticists, by studying the operations of this principle, have learned to escape some of its activities by transmutation. The Hermetic masters long since discovered that while the principle of rhythm was invariable and ever in evidence in mental phenomena, still there were two planes of its manifestation so far as mental phenomena are concerned. They discovered that there were two general planes of consciousness, the lower and the higher. The understanding of which fact enabled them to rise to the higher plane and thus escape the swing of the rhythmic pendulum which manifested on the lower plane. In other words, the swing of the pendulum occurred on the unconscious plane and the consciousness was not affected. This they call the law of neutralization. Its operations consist in the raising of the ego above the vibrations of the unconscious plane of mental activity so that the negative swing of the pendulum is not manifested in consciousness, and therefore they are not affected. It is akin to rising above a thing and letting it pass beneath you. The Hermetic master or advanced student polarizes himself at the desired pole, and by a process akin to refusing to participate in the backward swing, or if you prefer, a denial of its influence over him, he stands firm in his polarized position and allows the mental pendulum to swing back along the unconscious plane. All individuals who have attained any degree of self-mastery accomplish this, more or less, unknowingly. And by refusing to allow their moods and negative mental states to affect them, they apply the law of neutralization. The master, however, carries this to a much higher degree of proficiency. And by the use of his will, he attains a degree of poise and mental firmness almost impossible of belief on the part of those who allow themselves to be swung backward and forward by the mental pendulum of moods and feelings. The importance of this will be appreciated by any thinking person who realize what creatures of moods, feelings, and emotion the majority of people are and how little mastery of themselves they manifest. If you will stop and consider a moment, you will realize how much these swings of rhythm have affected you in your life. How a period of enthusiasm has been invariably followed by an opposite feeling of mood and of depression. Likewise, your moods and periods of courage have been succeeded by equal moods of fear. And so it has ever been with the majority of persons. Tides of feelings have ever risen and fallen with them, but they have never suspected the cause or reason of the mental phenomena. An understanding of the workings of this principle will give one the key to the mastery of these rhythmic swings of feeling, and will enable him to know himself better and to avoid being carried away by these inflows and outflows. The will is superior to the conscious manifestation of this principle, although the principle itself can never be destroyed. We may escape its effects, but the principle operates nevertheless. The pendulum ever swings, although we may escape being carried along with it. There are other features of the operation of this principle of rhythm which we wish to speak of at this point. There comes into its operations that which is known as the law of compensation. One of the definitions or meanings of the word compensate is to counterbalance, which is the sense in which the Hermeticists use the term. It is this law of compensation to which the Kabbalion refers when it says, quote, the measure of the swing to the right is the measure of the swing to the left. Rhythm compensates. The law of compensation is that the swing in one direction determines the swing in the opposite direction, or to the opposite pole, the one balances or counterbalances the other. On the physical plane, we see many examples of this law. The pendulum of the clock swings a certain distance to the right and then an equal distance to the left. The seasons balance each other in the same way. The tides follow the same law, and the same law is manifested in all the phenomena of rhythm. The pendulum with a short swing in one direction has but a short swing in the other, while the long swing to the right invariably means the long swing to the left. An object hurled upward to a certain height has an equal distance to traverse on its return. The force with which a projectile is sent upward a mile is reproduced when the projectile returns to Earth on its return journey. This law is constant on the physical plane, as reference to the standard authorities will show you. But the Hermeticists carry it still further. They teach that a man's mental states are subject to the same law. The man who enjoys keenly is subject to keen suffering, while he who feels but little pain is capable of feeling but little joy. The pig suffers but little mentally and enjoys but little he is compensated. And on the other hand, there are other animals who enjoy keenly, but whose nervous organism and temperament cause them to suffer exquisite degrees of pain, and so it is with man. There are temperaments which permit of but low degrees of enjoyment, and actually low degrees of suffering, while there are others which permit the most intense enjoyment, but also the most intense suffering. The rule is that the capacity for pain and pleasure in each individual are balanced. The law of compensation is in full operation here. But the Hermeticists still go further into this matter. They teach that before one is able to enjoy a certain degree of pleasure, he must have swung as far proportionately toward the other pole of feeling. They hold, however, that the negative is precedent to the positive in this matter. That is to say that in experiencing a certain degree of pleasure, it does not follow that he will have to pay up for it with a corresponding degree of pain. On the contrary, the pleasure is the rhythmic swing according to the law of compensation. For a degree of pain is previously experienced either in the present life or in a previous incarnation. This throws new light on the problem of pain. The Hermeticists regard the chain of lives as continuous, as forming a part of one life of the individual, so that in consequence, the rhythmic swing is understood in this way, while it would be meaningless unless the truth of reincarnation is admitted. But the Hermeticists claim that the master or advanced student is able, to a great degree, to escape the swing toward pain by the process of neutralization before mentioned. By rising on to the higher plane of the ego, much of the experience that comes to those dwelling on the lower plane is avoided and escaped. The law of compensation plays an important part in the lives of men and women. It will be noticed that one generally pays the price of anything he possesses or lacks. If he has one thing, he lacks another. The balance is struck. No one can keep his penny and have the bit of cake. Yeah, you can't have your cake and eat it too. If we could just get women to ever learn that, the world would be just such a better place. God, what is it with women? Every goddamn one of them, they want to have their cake and eat it too. At the same time, everything has its pleasant and unpleasant sides. The things that one gains are always paid for by things that one loses. The rich possess much that the poor lack, while the poor often possess things that are beyond the reach of the rich. The millionaire may have the inclination toward feasting and the wealth wherewith to secure all the dainties and luxuries of the table. While he lacks the appetite to enjoy the same, he envies the appetite and digestion of the laborer who lacks the wealth and inclinations of the millionaire, and who gets more pleasure from his plain food than the millionaire could obtain from even if his appetite were not jaded, nor his digestion ruined, for the wants, habits, and inclinations differ. And so it is through life The law of compensation is ever in operation, striving to balance and counterbalance, and always succeeding in time, even though several lives may be required for the return swing of the pendulum of rhythm. And that's the end of chapter 11 there. The next chapter is chapter 12, causation. 1, 2, 3. That's about 3.5 pages. Oh, let me get a drink here. Did I skip it? No, hold on. Bear with me here. Causation. All right, fuck it. Why not? Let's try to get into this now. The great sixth hermetic principle, the principle of cause and effect, embodies the truth that law pervades the universe. That nothing happens by chance, that chance is merely a term indicating cause existing but not recognized or perceived, that phenomena is continuous without break or exception. The principle of cause and effect underlies all scientific thought, ancient and modern, and was enunciated by the Hermetic teachers in the earliest days. While many and varied disputes between the many schools of thought have since arisen, since arisen, these disputes have been principally upon the details of the operations of the principle, and still more often upon the meaning of certain words. The underlying principle of cause and effect has been accepted as correct by practically all the thinkers of the world worthy of the name. To think otherwise would be to take the phenomenon of the universe from the domain of law and order and to relegate it to the control of the imaginary something which men have called chance. A little consideration will show anyone that there is in reality no such thing as pure chance. Webster defines the word chance as follows: a supposed agent or mode of activity other than a force, law, or purpose. The operation or activity of such agent. The supposed effect of such an agent. A happening, a fortuity, a casualty, etc. But a little consideration will show anyone that there is in reality no such thing as pure chance. There's no such agent as chance in the sense of something outside of law, something outside of cause and effect. How could there be a something acting in the phenomenal universe independent of the laws, order, and continuity of the latter? That's a good point. You say, oh, that's a coincidence. No, there are no coincidences. Such a something would be entirely independent of the orderly trend of the universe and therefore superior to it. We can imagine nothing outside of the all being outside of the law, and that only because the law, the all, is the law itself. There is no room in the universe for a something outside of and independent of law. The existence of such a, of something would render all natural laws ineffective and would plunge the universe into chaotic disorder and lawlessness. A careful examination will show that what we call chance is merely an expression relating to obscure causes, causes that we cannot perceive, causes that we cannot understand. The word chance is derived from a word meaning to fall, as in the falling of dice. The idea being that the fall of the dice are merely a happening unrelated to any cause. And this is the sense in which the term is generally employed. But when the matter is closely examined, it is seen that there is no chance whatsoever about the fall of the dice. Each time a dice falls and it displays a certain number, it obeys a law as infallible as that which governs the revolution of the planets around the sun. Back of the fall of the dice are causes, or chains of causes, running back further than the mind can follow. The position of the dice in the box, the amount of muscular energy expended in the throw, the condition of the table, etc., etc., are all causes the effect of which may be seen. But back of these seen causes, there are chains of unseen preceding causes, all of which had a bearing upon the number of the dice which fell uppermost. If a dice be cast a great number of times, it will be found that the numbers shown will be about equal. That is, there will be an equal number of one spot, two spot, etc., coming uppermost. Toss a penny in the air, and it may come down either heads or tails. But make a sufficient number of tosses, and the heads and tails will about even up. This is the operation of the law of average. But both the average and the single toss come under the law of cause and effect. If we were able to examine the preceding causes, it would be clearly seen that it was simply impossible for the dice to fall other than it did under the same circumstances at the same time. Given the same causes, the same results will follow. There is always a cause and a because to every event. Nothing ever happens without a cause, or rather a chain of causes. Some confusion has arisen in the minds of persons considering this principle, from the fact that they were unable to explain how one thing could cause another thing, that is, and be the creator of the second thing. As a matter of fact, no thing ever causes or creates another thing. Cause and effect deals merely with events. An event is that which comes, arrives, or happens as a result of consequent of some preceding event. No event creates another event, but is merely a preceding link in the great orderly chain of events flowing from the creative energy of the all. There is a continuity between all events, precedent, consequent, and subsequent. There is a relation existing between everything that has gone before and everything that follows. A stone is dislodged from a mountainside and crashes through a roof of a cottage in the valley below. At first sight, we regard this as a chance effect, but when we examine the matter, we find a great chain of causes behind it. In the first place, there was the rain, which softened the earth, supporting the stone, and which allowed it to fall. Then back of that was the influence of the sun, other rains, etc., which gradually disintegrated the piece of rock from a larger piece. Then there were the causes which led to the formation of the mountain, and its upheaval by convulsions of nature, and so on ad infinitum. Then we might follow up the causes behind the rain, etc. Then we might consider the existence of the roof. In short, we would soon find ourselves involved in a mesh of cause and effect, from which we would soon strive to extricate ourselves. Just as a man has two parents and four grandparents and eight great-grandparents and 16 great-great-grandparents, and so on until, when we say 40 generations are calculated, the numbers of ancestors run into many millions. So it is with the number of causes behind even the most trifling event or phenomenon, such as the passage of a tiny speck of soot before your eye. It is not an easy matter to trace the bit of soot back to the early period of the world's history, when it formed a part of a massive tree trunk, which was afterward converted into coal, and so on, until, as the speck of soot, it now passes before your vision on its way to other adventures. And a mighty chain of events, causes, and effects brought it to its present condition. And the latter is but one of the chain of events which will go on to produce another event hundreds of years from now. One of the series of events arising from the tiny bit of soot was the writing of these lines, which caused the typewriter to perform certain work, and the proofreader to do likewise, and which will arouse certain thoughts in your mind and that of others, which in turn will affect others, and so on and so on and on, beyond the ability of man to think further and all from the passage of a tiny bit of soot, all of which shows the relativity and association of things, and the further fact that there is no great, there is no small, in the mind that causeth all. Stop to think a moment. If a certain man had not met a certain maid, away back in the dim period of Stone Age, you who are now reading these lines would not be here now. And if perhaps the same couple had failed to meet, we who now write these lines would now not be here. And the very act of writing on our part, and the act of reading on yours, will affect not only the respective lives of yourself and ourselves, but will also have a direct or indirect effect upon many other people now living and who will live in the ages to come. Every thought we think, every act we perform, has its direct and indirect results which fit into the great chain of cause and effect. We do not wish to enter into a consideration of free will or determinism in this work for various reasons. Among the many reasons is the principal one that neither side of the controversy is entirely right. In fact, both sides are partially right according to the Hermetic teachings. The principle of polarity shows that both are but half-truths, the opposing poles of truth. The teachings are that a man may be both free and yet bound by necessity, depending upon the meaning of the terms, and the height of truth from which the matter is examined. The ancient writers expressed the matter thus: the further the creation is from the center, the more it is bound. The nearer the center it reaches, the nearer free it is. The majority of people are more or less the slaves of heredity, environment, etc., and manifest very little freedom. They are swayed by the opinions, customs, and thoughts of the outside world, and also by their emotions, feelings, moods, etc. They manifest no mastery worthy of the name. They indignantly repudiate this assertion, saying, "Why, I certainly am free to act and do as I please. I do just what I want to do." But they fail to explain whence arise the want to and as I please. What makes them want to? What makes them want to do one thing in preference to doing another? What makes them please to do this and not do that? Is there no because to their pleasing and wanting? The master can change these pleases and wants into others at the opposite end of the mental pole. He is able to will instead of to will because some feeling, mood, emotion, or environmental suggestion arouses a tendency or desire within him to do so. The majority of people are carried along like the falling stone, obedient to environment, outside influences, internal moods, desires, etc. Not to speak of the desires and wills of others stronger than themselves. Heredity, environment, and suggestion carry them along without resistance on their part or the exercise of the will. Moved like pawns on the checkerboard of life, they play their parts and are laid aside after the game is over. But the masters, knowing the rules of the game, rise above the plane of material life, and placing themselves in touch with the higher powers of their nature, dominate their own moods, characters, qualities, and polarity, as well as the environment surrounding them, and thus become movers in the game, instead of pawns, causes instead of effects. The masters do not escape the causation of the higher planes, but fall in with the higher laws, and thus master circumstances on the lower plane. They thus form a conscious part of the law, instead of being mere blind instruments. While they serve on the higher planes, they rule on the material plane. But on higher and on lower, the law is always in operation. There is no such things as chance. The blind goddess has been abolished by reason. We are able to see now, with eyes made clear by knowledge, that everything is governed by universal law, that the infinite number of laws are but manifestations of the one great law, the law which is the all. It is true indeed that not a sparrow drops unnoticed by the mind of the all, that even the hairs on our head are numbered as the scriptures have said, and that there is nothing outside of the law, nothing that happens contrary to it. And yet do not make the mistake of supposing that man is but a blind automaton. Far from it. The Hermetic teachings are that man may use law to overcome laws, and that the higher will always prevail against the lower, until at last he has reached the stage in which he seeks refuge in the law itself, and laughs the phenomenal laws to scorn. Are you able to grasp the inner meaning of this? If not, you're going to have to listen to this rebroadcast again. That's the end of chapter 12. We'll get into chapter 13 next time, which is entitled Gender. Good read, good stuff here. I mean, this was I'm reading this on the suggestion of one of our listeners. And while I've read this stuff before myself and are aware of this, this is a good refresher course or beginner course into some of the more ancient Hermetic teachings and stuff like that. And this is basically the kind of stuff that they teach initiates in the mystery schools. And that's been something that I've wanted to do over the past few years. And we've done that a few times here is, you know, I'm going to find these mystery school stuff. We don't have to go join any groups or cults or anything else. It's all information. It's all out there if we seek it and really want to get our hands on it. And so that's one of the things I've pledged to do here with the radio show is to, you know, find as many of these things as I can and read as many of them on the air for the show for you. And, you know, maybe we can all come to a higher, more elevated way of thinking and viewing things. We need to. And a lot of people are. But it just needs to happen on a larger scale. And I think that as the days go by here and as we move through this year and on to the next and on to the next and on and on and on, people are going to continue to see through the bullshit. And I think people's discernment are getting a lot better. And hopefully we can keep people from doing something stupid and falling into their armed conflict, civil war game. And we're just going to have to keep pushing, getting the information out. And we can't do that without you. My website is theglobalreality.com. We need to get some donations in here this week, folks, because we just have hit shit for support over the past couple of weeks. So please help us out, theglobalreality.com. You can also get my newest film, The Secret Right Volume 2, there as well. My name is Josh Reeves. I love each and every one of you, and we'll see you next time for the broadcast. You guys have a great night. Take care.